Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
This is a radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am.
How are you this week, sir?
I'm doing pretty all right.
Well, I was, and then I bumped my toe against a table, and now my the toe beside my big toe is bruised as fuck, and it's hard to walk on, so... That's great to deal with that after what seemed like a pretty good day, and then to end it with that. But I'm going to end it better because we're here on the show. There's always one little hiccup with me, it seems like, here lately. But we're here, and it's a big show, Ian. This one, we don't do these type of shows that often because there's never really a reason. Because there's only, one movie a week sometimes. You know, it gets released over the weekend, and we review it on the following Thursday. No, this time we had two, and one released on a Wednesday of all, after the weekend. That's just so weird. Like, why did they do that on a Wednesday? Just release it that Saturday, whatever. But they released... two horror films this past week, and we're going to be discussing both of them. Well, I am. We got the sequel to 47 Meters Down, 47 Meters Down Uncaged, and then we have Ready or Not. Then we have an indie spotlight, and it's pretty review-centric show, and it's going to be pretty entertaining, I think, because there's a lot of stuff I got to talk about with one of them. But first, a little bit of news we don't have the time really, but I have to bring this up. Peter Fonda passed away, 79. He lost his battle with lung cancer. He died August 16th. And again, another genre actor like Rutger Hauer. Peter Fonda didn't really do that many horror films, but the ones that he was in were pretty damn good. Especially, of course, Race with the Devil is, really good road horror, satanic panic, 70s stuff. Of course, everyone's going to know him from Easy Rider. And technically, of course, it's Dennis Hopper's movie because he directed it. But Peter Fonda, and Dennis Hopper made the movie and kind of started the whole motorcycle trend, and then that kind of led off to a bunch of sort of horror-based motorcycle you know, type movies in the vein of Easy Rider. You know, there's like Hard Ticket or Hard Ride to Hell was one that came out like a couple years, not a couple years, years back. So it's like a very, you know, it started a trend. He was, you know, it is, you know, that whole genre of films. He was also in Spasms, which is a pretty good, I think it's a pretty good Killer Snake movie that he's in. He's in it not, I don't think he's in it that much. It's more Oliver Reed and him having a psychic connection with the snake. But Peter Fonda, he plays a doctor, I guess like a medical examiner, seeing all the, trying to figure out the reasoning for the snake, you know, the bites and everything. And then Spirits of the Dead, early film he was in, anthology film. But yeah, it I hate to see him go because, again, he's, yeah, he's in a variety of other shit. You know, he was in, of course, Ghost Rider as the devil. So,
yeah.
He made a career, of course. He's a cult actor, recognizable Hollywood, you know, high-rise star. And you hate to see him go. Anything besides what I've already mentioned, Ian, or anything you want to add?
Well, you know, like we always say, you know, it's sad. I mean, he, if I'm not mistaken, he wasn't that old.
79.
Yeah, it's not that old anymore. But, I mean, you know, it's sad. And
yeah.
And I saw the new, you know, I saw the news break on Facebook, and I was just like, man, that sucks. I mean, I was kind of hoping that he'd, you know, recover, but these things happen. You never know, you know, I mean, cancer, you know, hopefully they, you know, find a cure for cancer eventually, but
mm-hmm.
It sucks to see somebody, you know, lose their life and go through that struggle, and I feel for the family because cancer's not an easy thing to deal with, so
nope.
My heart goes out to them, and yeah.
Yep, so rest in peace, Peter Fonda. Thank you for the films and the everything you've done. So going on from that, a little bit of sad news that we have to get out of the way. 47 Meters Down Uncaged, as I said, is the sequel to 47 Meters Down, a.k.a. In the Deep, which we reviewed like 2 years ago. And the first one is fine. I mean, it's not too bad. I mean, it has a decent, you know, it's decently, you know, sort of suspenseful, but it has, you know, that good atmosphere of, you know, just being stranded in the ocean. You know, you're actually 47 meters down. You're running low on oxygen. You know, there's a lot of things that was kind of going for it and made it not too bad of a movie, but it was decent. You know, it was a decent watch. So it made a little bit of money, and they decided to make a sequel, and that's what they did. And it's the same director. Okay, so the general story is Mia and Sarah. They're both stepsisters because the father married the mother, who's a black lady, so it's a black sister, white sister. Sarah, who's the black sister, is kind of not really wanting anything to do with Mia, and Mia's the one getting bullied and pushed around by some, you know, uppity white, you know, uppity sort of high class kids of this international school. Because they live in Mexico, so it's an international school, and so they get picked on, and she's sort of down because she got pushed in the water, and then they're going to go on this they're supposed to go on this expedition with their father or do something like that, but it didn't fall through because he found this cave with this Mayan temple. And they're exploring and doing all kind of research and all that fun stuff, and he has to go take care of that at another entrance. And he gets some tickets for a shark, a boat ride, where you can go down in the boat and see all the sharks eat when they put the chum out in the water. And so they go there, they get ready, and then we have Alexa and Nicole, which is Sarah's friends, and they decided, you know, hey, let's go do something. Do you want to stay in a boat? Because the one girl who was the the bully to Mia is also going to be on the boat ride. And like, do you really want to stay on a boat with her for so long? And of course, they all say, what the fuck, you know, let's go. And they leave and they head off to this hidden spot in the middle of Mexico. And basically, Alexa is sort of friends with one of the Mia's dad's partners, where like the explore things together. And so the spot that they go to is the entrance to the temple that her father is exploring, but he's on the opposite side in a different entrance. And so they decide, you know what, let's go down, let's go to the very first temple, you know, let's not go anywhere else, let's look at it and then come back up, because they have limited oxygen. And so that's what they do. They go down there, and sooner or later, they're faced with a great white shark. But the thing is, this shark is blind, because for some reason, it got into this temple and started, I guess, mating with other sharks, and like they were so low in the depth of the water that they're born blind, even though this doesn't really look like it's really that far underwater, to be honest. There's a lot of things wrong and cliched and just not thought through with this film. There's just a lot. It's kind of a mess, honestly. But it keeps you, I'm not going to say it keeps you entertained, because it's not an entertaining movie. It's not suspenseful. There's no terror. You hate every single character because they're so fucking dumb, and it's just grating on your nerves. And then there's like logic that's just tossed out the windows. Like, apparently these scuba suits are able to talk through them, but there's like no microphone or anything like that. And like the helmets they have aren't covering their ears, so they're so far below water with nothing protecting their ears. And so there's all kinds of that, you know, fucking pressure that probably would cause your head sort of to fucking explode, in a sense. And like, there's nothing in their ears, so they're not able to hear each other through the helmets that they're talking through, but they're still able to communicate. So there's like logic's out the window. It's fucking stupid. And this is the one thing, it's going to be a meme if it's not, once this hits DVD. I mean, everyone's already talking about it, and it's the fish. There's the translucent fish that's blind as well. And it's like, oh, it's blind. You know, the Asian girl, I think, or it's Mia, because she's like, she knows all the stuff about, like, she's the smart one that always gets picked on, you know, like I mentioned, but she like knows everything because, again, her dad does all the discovering. So she has to learn all this stuff. And so, like, it's a translucent fish. It's blind. And they come across, you know, they come up on it in this, you know, little passageway where they see the temple that they're at with all the statues and the altars and everything like that. It's been down there for years. And they come across the fish. And, like, it's blind. It's a blind fish. And then, which one was it? It's Nicole is the dumb one. She's the one that, you fucking Christ. Okay, so she reaches her hand, like, why are you reaching your hand to a fish in the first place? But she reaches her hand, remember, the fish is blind, and then the fucking fish fucking screams. Like, wait a second. You know, you're just sitting there like, wait a second. Why is this fish screaming? Second of all, it's blind, so it really wouldn't know that there's a hand coming towards it. There's just so much shit. So I expect this fish to be a meme in the future. There's going to have something stupid. And it's like the SpongeBob memes or something, you know, when he screams, it's going to be like that. It's going to be fucking something like that related. But then they go through here, they knock, after that, after the fish screams, like, who the fuck, you know, because it's Nicole. She's the dumbest of the bunch, and she deserved what she got. So she, the fish screamed, startled her so bad, and caused her to knock over one of the pillars in the temple, causing it to fall, causing all the dirt and muck and debris to, you know, rise up. So you're not, it's not crystal clear water anymore. It's all murky and dark and dirty, and that.
Yes.
That effect causes the great white blind shark to come in and start basically chasing them. And it's, Ian, this movie's terrible. It's not even fun terrible. It's not even fun terrible. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not saying like the Sharknado movies or anything are great or by themselves, but, you know, I'm trying to think of like another one. It's like, they're just like, it follows all the cliches. It even does the Deep Blue Sea cliche where, you know, one of the characters, I'm not going to say who, but there's a speech like, okay, girls, we're going to make it out. We're going to do this. And then next thing you know, after a long speech, shark comes and kills the person. Because it's the freaking Deep Blue Sea effect. Yeah, there's parts in here that are just fucking terrible. And, like, again, characters you hate. I mean, honestly, there's no reason to care for them. And they try to build up, you know, like, oh, you know, you got to do this. You got to care for this character to see him survive. Like, no, I want to see him die. There's one character, as soon as one part happened, as like she already died. I'm not going to say who. And I was like, come on, shark, eat her. Come on, eat her. I was like, damn it. And it cut away. You know, that's just like how bad the characters are. Like, even if they're dead, I still want to see fucking something happen to them. The one
right.
chick, Nicole, she gets her just desserts, and it's much deserved because she's a fucking terrible person. I mean, all of them are terrible people, except for maybe Mia, but there's still dumb shit that made me fucking, like, fuck off. I mean, it's a beautiful girl. The actress, fucking gorgeous. But just the character in the film is just fucking dumb as rocks. And then it gets, especially towards the end, it gets into fucking more logic when you're going up against sharks. And, like, I don't even want to get into that because it's spoilers. But it's not a good movie. I really wouldn't recommend it. I'd recommend going to see Crawl. That's the better animal attack movie. I mean, Crawl did the scene more justice, but this one with it's one scene that I mentioned that was great. I mean, don't get me, the scene in this one with the one girl is good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, she gets what she deserves. And it's just like they managed to put a little bit more of you know, it's PG-13, but they did manage to do some decent creature violence in that portion of the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I wouldn't recommend it at all. It's not fun. There's no tension. It's kind of dull. And it's just, again, it's to the point where it's like it's a bunch of swimming for half the film. I mean, that's technically what it is. Honestly, it should have been direct to, you know, on demand or direct to DVD because it felt more at home on a DVD Blu-ray shelf on a Tuesday than theatrical. You know, this is it didn't really need it. I mean, it didn't really show either because it made $9 million at the box office this past weekend. I don't know what its budget was, but I didn't look that part up because I really didn't care. I just wanted to see how much it made, but it didn't really fare that well. So yeah, it might have made it a little bit back. I don't know, but it didn't really do that well. And I really don't want to see this franchise continue unless they do something more, because you already got blind sharks, and I feel like if you want to do something like that, I mean, leave that to the Sci-Fi Channel and Asylum, and let them churn out crazy films like Toxic Shark or Ghost Shark or fucking whatever, you know.
Right.
They do it so much better, you know. You know, what's the other one? There's like a new one out, like Sky Sharks or something. I don't know. It's just bad. I just, it's not, it's really, I mean, it's not even fun. You know, I would think it's like, oh, it's fun in a bad way, but it's just like the logic is too much. It's like pushing, like, no, that doesn't make fucking sense. I mean, of course you're supposed to turn your head off. I mean, it's a dumb shark movie, but there's more logic in a fucking Sharknado movie for some fucking reason than there is in this one. You know, it's a fucking Sharknado. It's not fucking logical, but it's more logical than a fucking screaming fish and everything else that goes on in this. So I do not recommend 47 Meters Down on Cage. I left just like saying that was a waste of time, and I don't suggest it. Ian, any thoughts before we go on?
It sounds like I should be thankful that I haven't had a chance to go see that. Because I was actually thinking about doing that yesterday. I just didn't have the time. And I'm glad that I saved the money.
Yeah, it's not fun. I think there's like some people that was like kind of enjoyed it when I was hearing like people talk throughout the crowd. But you know, I didn't think there was like anything warranted in the film, and like again, I was checked out pretty much immediately. because there's the whole beginning of the film. Like you kind of already know what's going to happen because it's the two, you know, stepsisters, and they don't like each other. You kind of like, oh, that's been done before, where like two people don't like each other and then they have a change of heart because they go through a circumstance at the end of the movie and they're a stronger bond together. So like, okay, I already know who's going to survive this. And plus they give away a lot in the trailer. But yeah, I mean, the shark segments were okay. There's one decent scene. But it's not really that great. I mean, just skip it. Go see Crawl again. That's a way better animal run amok film. So going on from that, we got enough. I'm going to save Ready or Not for later. Let's get into our indie spotlight film because it's, we got enough time to talk about this. Virtues of Solitude, directed by Sri Kandula, a filmmaker from, I believe he's from Pennsylvania. I believe he's in one of the universities. So this definitely has sort of that university vibe to it. One of those, you know, sort of art projects for a film class. Sort of feel to it. And it's a 9-minute short. And this one, let's see here. It's kind of hard not to give too much away, but there's a girl in a library and she starts having, but she is sort of being chased by herself and a bigger, a man, and their faces are blurred a little bit. And it's just her running and hiding through the library, hiding behind shelves and all that stuff. And again, it's like cut up into like segments with like, it has like a couple minutes and then there's like a quote and then a couple more minutes and a quote. And it kind of had, the quote has something to do with the progression of the story a little bit of what's going to happen. Overall, it's, if this is the start of something, you know, if this is like his first, well, I don't think it's his first. I think he's done a few other projects. But this one, I mean, there's, like I said, it has that art school vibe to it.
Yeah.
And it just, the idea is sort of, I kind of get I know the general idea of the story. I get it. I think I know where it was leading to, because it's very experimental sort of tone to it, because it's not, you know, girl runs, hides. It's very, you know, sort of, like I said, experimental, sort of, not really art house, but it has similar vibes to that. And, I mean, there's issues, but I get the general idea of what he was trying to accomplish with the story and the title of the film. I'm just saying there's just some... there's something just that, I mean, it's there, and it's very, you know, I'm not going to say it's very sophomoric or anything, but I'm just going to say it's, you know, it has some stuff to it that if worked upon, again, there's hardly any dialogue, except for when the our lead is talking, or Shadow, I'll just say Shadow, is talking to the girl, and it just revolves around all that stuff. There's just like very minor dialogue, but you know, it kind of doesn't kind of go anywhere, but it kind of does. So it's very like, it's one of those where you have to kind of think to understand it a little bit. It's not too much, it's not really hard to understand, but there's just like, the information is there if you can look for it, look past the film, and, you know, because it's very, you know, like I said, it's low. It shows itself as an art project or film school project, and it's okay. I mean, if he takes the concept and continues on with it, I mean, I could see something better planned out in a more better tone, in a sense. Ian, what's your thoughts? I mean, I feel like I'm going around in circles, but I can't really say too much because it's a 9-minute short. So what's your thoughts?
I mean, honestly, when I was watching it, I was doing something. I ended up having to watch it like 3 times to make sure I understood everything, which, you know, being in, you know, very, very short watch, you can do that. But, I mean, I understand where it was. I think I understand where it's going to go. I think it's kind of left up to your own interpretation, maybe a little bit. But no, it's definitely art house. I was thinking that the whole time I was watching it. But yeah, no, there's not a whole lot of dialogue. There's not much to the film. But, you know, we've said before, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But there was not much of a context behind that. So I was kind of left, like, a little confused, even though I understood what was going on. Just the whole, the library, and I guess the library represents something. Which, I can't really give too much, say my full thoughts, because, 9 minutes short, spoilers galore. But, I do see where they're trying to get at. But, I don't know. Like I said, I just think it's just mostly left up to your interpretation, and it's just a very, very odd little film, I think. But it was pretty simple in the development. Like, it was just straight, just boom. But it left a lot to the imagination.
Yeah,
I
feel
the
like
way
the
that mother did.
No, definitely not. But, I mean, it's there. I mean, there's definitely an interpretation of how you take it and how you see what technically happens to the main character and the dialogue at hand with what goes on. But it definitely, like I said, it has that film project, like for a class at a university or something. And he said, make a short, make this, do that, do something, it has like all the markings. And of course it has that, quality too. I'm not saying it's, it's just like a handheld, sort of handheld camera-ish. I'm not exactly sure what kind of camera he used, but it definitely kind of shows. It has just that, university project vibe to it. And it might not be. It's just, but that's the way it kind of looked in my opinion. But yeah, it I mean, I think if he just continued on with what he wanted, you know, with that, he could turn it into something interesting. I see that happening because he has an idea, and just keep adding to that concept, and you know, you could turn it maybe something into Mother. Not saying it won't be, you know, exactly a Mother or anything like that, but you know, it's the start, and that's how you get to where you can make something like Mother or all the other films. You know, you start small, just doing little tiny shorts, and then you're able to turn out something really interesting. But yeah, that is The Virtues of Solitude by Sri Kendula. So I appreciate Sri for allowing us to review the short. Hopefully you'll understand where we're coming from. And going on from that, let's finish up the show with Ready or Not. I mean, I've got a little bit of time. Ready or Not, this one, we discussed the trailer for this one and how it came out of nowhere. And really, it looked interesting. I liked the idea. And the film is pretty much what you see in the trailer. Grace is getting married to Alex. Before she gets married, she meets up with the in-laws, his brother, a whole family, I think. They have to play a game at midnight because they're this empire where they invented like board games and all kinds of various games, and they have this thing now where whoever gets married, there's a story of Ladamas or something like that, and it's something that I think the father, grandfather, great grandfather met this guy. He found this box, and this box is this very special box that you put a card in, a blank card, and then you pull it out, and then you have to do whatever that card says. And so, like, again, some of them had to do old maid, some of them had to play chess, and there's one card you do not want, and that's hide and seek. And, of course, Grace draws that card. Well, it gives her that card, and thus we have the family, her new family of in-laws, chasing her down, trying to kill her before dawn. And overall, it's one of the better movies of the year. I'll just say that from everything else. It's one of the top ones. It still has its flaws. I do think because this is the same directors who did Devil's Due, and that movie, that movie sucked. All right. So this is a way better step up from Devil's Due. This one, I felt like they play it serious, but there's still some campiness to it. It's dark comedy slash horror. And it's like they get to the point where, you know, like they could have pushed it, but they don't. They kind of go back. But it kind of works in that way. So I'm really kind of contradicting myself where, like, it doesn't really go to that level, but then it cuts back. Because the whole ending is, like, the whole reasoning for that working the way it does. It's a fun little movie. I'm not going to say it's like 100% entertaining, but it's a fun, you know, I can see, like, if this was a movie in a crowded theater, I can see people, you know, having fun, laughing, clapping in some parts. But this is like a theater full of, this is like an 11:30 showing on a Wednesday. So you have 8 people, you know, total. Not a very big crowd on a Wednesday at a very first showing. And it's not my normal theater. This is the third choice theater that I have to really drive to get to, that was only showing it. So it's very limited for some reason. I don't even think your theater got it, did it? And you usually get everything.
The one by my house, they don't usually get movies in right away unless they're like Marvel or whatever. But, there was a couple of theaters around me that did, but none that I want to travel all the way out to.
Yeah.
They're kind of pricey.
Yeah. But overall, it's not a bad film. It's fun. It's campy. You know, it's dark comedy. Some of the character of Grace, the actress, she was also in a film called The Babysitter, which was pretty fun. Also, around the same kind of tone, in a sense. That was kind of dark comedy, horror. But she does a great job. Well, like her delivery and like things. There's some good lines of delivery that she gives. There's one where she's trying to escape and she comes across something and she goes, "Fucking rich people." You know, just like her line of dialogue and facial expressions are pretty damn good. And then there's like the whole dynamic of the family trying to kill her and like they're not having the best luck. That was pretty funny, and there's some good, you know, fun moments there. There's I think the one uncle, I don't know if it's the uncle or who it is, but he's sort of the fat one, and he gets this crossbow, and he doesn't know what to do with it, so he's like, "I'm going to go to the bathroom." He's sitting there watching a YouTube video on how to use a crossbow, and then, like, he married a girl that his wife is, like, coked up all the time, and, like, she's always high or drunk or on her, you know, do something, and she's killing all these people by accident. And she's like, "Oh my God, I didn't mean to do it." So there's like some of that. But again, the ending is where it's at. Because it ramps up to like all this stuff happening. And there's like a underlying thing that being said that you have to pay attention to. And, they kind of go back and forth. Like, is it real or is it not real? And then the ending happens. The one thing though, I was sitting there thinking, like, this reminded me of something I just watched, like, this year. And, like, there's people are comparing it to You're Next, which is very similar. You know, like, that's the very first thing. Like, I was thinking, okay, I can see You're Next. You know, when I was sitting there, like, okay, You're Next I see, but there's another one. And then it finally dawned on me, there's another film called Murder Party that came out sometime last year, but I didn't get to it until this year, early in January. And it's about people that break into a rich people's house, and they want to steal money, but the people, they're having a party, and the people that they're celebrating a party, because they're all serial killers in remission, and then they start going crazy and start murdering people, or going after the people that are trying to steal the money. And it's like the very same tone. If you haven't seen Murder Party, I would suggest seeing that one. It's over the top bloody, you know, dark comedy horror in the vein of this. Of course, there's no wedding, but it's a very similar Murder Party in this one. That's the one I see more so than You're Next. But this one, again, has the hide-and-seek aspects. It's a fun movie. I can't really complain because it's fun. It has, you know, basically what you'd want out of a popcorn, you know, horror film, comedy horror film, you know, something you can have fun with the theater crowd, and also it's a pretty fun, you know, movie, you know, on its own merits. You know, it's not, you know, perfect. It has some issues with, you know, some pacing issues a little bit, but it's carried along. There's some minor choices here and there that kind of doesn't make sense, character plot-wise. But it's a fine little movie. It's nothing too bad. And, yeah, it's one of the, probably one of the hidden gems so far. But there's another one that I sent you the trailer for, Ian, that played before this one. I don't know if, again, I want people to see this because it was Antlers. And that was the very last trailer that played before the film. And I was like, oh my God, that looks amazing. So I don't know when that one's coming out, but Antlers is, if you haven't seen the trailer for Antlers, that looks awesome. Because it's just like, what is this? You know, it's just one of those random films. It's just like, okay, what's this? Because, you know, I'm like, they always show It Chapter 2. They always show another one. You know, it's like the same trailers over and over. And then when you get something new, like Antlers, like, holy shit. Underwater is another one that's coming out. But Antlers looks amazing. I'm so interested to see where that one goes. It could be hype. You know, I could be let down by it. But that one looks so fun. What do you think of Antlers, the trailer?
Oh, when you sent that to me, I was actually about to start watching that movie, so I got sidetracked and I forgot to watch it. But I'm definitely going to go check it out.
Yeah. But check out Antlers, the trailer, for those listening. But yeah, Ready or Not, it's fun. It's good. It has some, you know, a few things here and there that kind of, you know, character plot wise. It all in all, it works because of the ending. I mean, if it didn't do all these things, you know, it could have, you know, it ramped it up a little bit because they get to the point where it could be, you know, ramped up, and then it kind of relieves the tension a little bit. It's not jump scary or anything. It's fine. You know, it's just a fun, dark comedy horror film, bloody when it needs to be. I mean, literally, it is bloody. It doesn't shy away. You can see that in the trailer. And the trailer, I mean, they do give some things away in the trailer, but honestly, those the kills you see in the trailer are fucking side characters. They're maids, so it's no plot whatsoever. So you're really not missing, you know, they're not giving away too much. You know, that's one thing I like. Oh, you're already showing all these kills. And you're like, no, that's just the very beginning. So there's way more over-the-top zaniness that happens as the film progresses. And it's a short watch, too. I think it was, like, really short. So they managed to pack a lot in. And it is one of the, you know, from these guys that did Devil's Due, it's definitely a step up from Devil's Due. And it's definitely, like I said, it's a good co-feature with Murder Party. Hell, you can put a triple bill with Your Next, and you'll have a fun night. So, Ian, what's your thoughts on Ready or Not before we get call this show?
It actually sounds like a movie I need to go see, like, right away, because that sounds pretty much up my alley. I like dark comedies that, you know, have a semi-serious undertone to it. So I think that's going to be – it seems like it's going to be a fun watch, and definitely we'll have to check it out soon.
Yeah, it's definitely one I think you'll enjoy. I mean, I think you'll have some fun with it. Yeah, I had people that was like, you know, there's some, like, you know, one-liners in the film that, you know, one lady was cracking up at. But again, with a theater full of eight people, you know, one person, well, two people just having a fun time. You know, just like, again, humor doesn't really work with me that much. Unless it's like someone getting fucking ripped apart. Like, I smiled in fucking 47 Meters Down when the girl got ripped apart, you know. But I'm giving away spoilers. But nonetheless, yeah, it's fun. And then, like, again, it just wraps up, you know, it doesn't, you know, wrap, you know, scene by scene where it just builds and builds and builds and builds and then there's, like, a release. It's sort of just, like, it builds and then you get blue balls a little bit. And then it builds again and then blue balls. And finally, the ending, and you get a good relief, you know, a good payoff. That's kind of my analogy for Ready or Not, because that's about the best way to say it, because it's just, you know, you get character development, you know, some dialogue here and there, characters that just kind of switch sides because she's like, oh, come on, you know, your brother loves me, you don't want to do this, you know, help me, all that stuff. And there's some interesting scenes there, and there's some child violence too, which is fun. But yeah, it's a little movie, and again, like I said, it's gory when it needs to be gory, and there's probably most of it is practical. Besides one thing towards the end there, I'm not gonna give that away. I mean, but everything else is pretty practical. And like I said, the lead character, the lead actress that plays Grace, great job. She really sunk her teeth into that role, and had fun with it. And that's really all you can say, really. So, Ian, I guess that's going to do it. Not sure exactly what will be on next week's plate for the show, but I'm sure we'll figure that out. We do have some ideas, and we are going towards episode 200 of the show, which we will hopefully be doing a Listener's Choice movie review. So I just got to get things ready and get the poll set up so all the listeners can vote for that. So without further ado, that's going to do it, Ian. I will talk to you next time, and we'll be planning for everything. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
touch your skin.